Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas. Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. As the announcer said, I am your host, Michael Pappas. The business landscape is changing, along with attitudes toward traditional ways of doing business. What's more, there's evidence to suggest that women are playing a prominent role in shaping the future of business. Many people are unfamiliar with the fact that the history of female entrepreneurship reaches far back into the past. The first well-documented businesswoman can be traced back as far as 1870 BC to the city of Azur in northern Iraq. Assyrian women, at the time, often contributed to vast trading networks that flourished in the region, showing that business was not exclusively to men. A new study found women made up 47% of U.S. entrepreneurs starting businesses in 2022, compared with 29% prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. Back in April, SCORE New Jersey held a contest for women-owned businesses. It was funded by the Lester Muriel and Edie Frazier Women's Entrepreneur Fund for SCORE New Jersey. The two winners of the contest would receive a $4,000 grant for their business. Each business would submit an application, telling the name, their product and or services offered, length of time in business, a description of the market need and how they identify the need, their typical customer, the uniqueness of their product and or service, how their product and or service is different from the competition, an estimate of revenues for the next 2 years, and finally, if they won, how they would use the grant. The entries were reviewed by a panel of SCORE mentors and 10 finalists were selected. Those finalists then had the opportunity to make a pitch of their business to a panel of SCORE mentors. If they wished, the finalists would be paired with a SCORE mentor to help them prepare their pitch. During the week beginning May 15th, the finalists made their virtual pitch presentation to the panel. The panel then chose two winners. As an added perk, each finalist was given the opportunity to be a guest on SCORE Business Points to talk about their participation in the contest and about their business. My first guest from the group of finalists is Lucienne Coppage, the owner of Lulu's Artisanal Lemonade. Welcome to SCORE Business Points, Lucienne.
Thank you. Morning.
Good morning. Tell the listeners about yourself, your background, and your business.
I'm Lucienne Coppage. I'm originally from Guyana, South America, and we migrated to Montclair, New Jersey in 1976. And this is pretty much where I have been since that time. Regarding my this business, my latest venture, Lulu's Artisanal Lemonade and Cafe, I started it in 2018 after a visit to the beach, actually. My friend and I went to the beach and her brother was supposed to bring the beverages and he forgot them. So we got hot and wanted something to drink. So we walked up on the boardwalk, saw a lemonade stand, went over, ordered some lemonade, and they seemed to be making it very basic, with just, you know, water, lemons and a half a lemon and some water, and was charging like about $4. So I observed that and I was just like, I think that I can do that, but I think that I can take it to another level. So later on that year, there was a farmer's market opening near me and I decided to participate and I started with four flavors back then. It was just classic lemonade, a mint basil lemonade, strawberry, and I had one other flavor that I don't remember what it is right now. Fast forward to now, I actually have about 12 to 15 flavors. And in 2020, during the pandemic, I opened up a cafe and we focus on vegan, plant-based, and gluten-free food and desserts.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you a question. You talked about yourself, you talk about your business. What kind of business background do you actually have? Do you have any? Or is this your first venture?
So actually, no, this is not my first business. About 30 years ago, I actually opened up I was co-founder and co-owner of a hair salon with my deceased ex-husband. And so that was the first business that I started. And then fast forward in 2002, I also created another company, which is called Lucienne Management LLC, and I focus on artist management. So I manage the areas of film, art, and music. Uh-huh. And then myself and my sister, we also have a retail store. So I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur.
Oh, okay. That's good. That at least that you understand going into business with Lulu's Lemonade, that it's not the first time you've done something. So you have an idea.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
All right. Well, you were one of the 10 finalists with the New Jersey Score, New Jersey Pitch Contest. Well, tell us how you heard about Score and the contest.
So I was already familiar with Score prior due to just other friends participating with the organization. But I have a friend that works for the SBA who connected me with SCORE and with this particular grant opportunity. And so I was able to apply. But I've actually spoken with folks from SCORE. I actually have a mentor with SCORE. We haven't actually had a chance to really get together and do the work that we talked about. But I was referred regarding the grant from someone that I know that works for the SBA.
Well, I know that the contest allowed you to work with a SCORE mentor. Did you decide to work with that SCORE mentor?
Yes, I did work with Nadia.
Okay. Okay. Can you give, you just gave, well, give not, you know, give Nadia's whole name, give her a shout out to,
It's Nadia Bruce Sandy, and she was very instrumental in helping me to understand the process and go through how to answer the questions and be effective and concise. She was very knowledgeable and versed, and we worked very well together. So I really appreciated her help, her input, and her mentorship.
Okay, and what chapter was that in the, you know?
She's in Newark.
She's in the Newark
chapter.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you said you have a SCORE mentor now for, I assume, for your business. The question I was going to ask you was, do you plan to continue to work with the particular mentor that helped you with the pitch contest, or are you going to go back to your other mentor?
So I am open to working with both mentors, actually, because I think they specialize in two different areas, if it's possible. I'm not sure. The original mentor that I had, he was going to help me with my business plan, and we just haven't had a chance to schedule time together, so we didn't really move forward. And then Nadia was more of the mentor as it related to the grant. So if I can work with both of them, I will be happy. If I can work with one, I will be happy as well.
Okay, well, I'm sure you can work with both of them. They'd be more than happy to share you. So
okay, then that's
okay.
Great.
Okay. Well, you said your company's been in business since 2018?
Actually, no. I started the business in, 2018, and I opened the cafe in 2020.
Okay. How did you get your clients when you didn't have a cafe? What did you just do? Farmers markets?
Yes, I did farmers markets and festivals.
Strictly. And how was that experience?
And actually, let me go back a little bit. I did have a location for about 6 months. I had a shared space within, there was a group in Montclair called Park Street Market, and it was like an incubator space with other small businesses. Mm-hmm. So I did do that for about 6 months. And then when my sister and I reopened our pop-up and I needed to be there on the weekends and I didn't really have coverage, I had to close the store because my son was working during the week and I would work on the weekends, and he didn't want to work 7 days. So I did have a location for about 6 months. But other than that, I did farmers markets and festivals. Yes.
Okay. And tell me again, you actually got started because when you went to the beach and that you saw the lemonade that they were making for you, you said, I can do that better.
Correct.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. All right. How did you get your funding for the business?
Self-funded and family.
Wow. Okay, that's quick. That's what most small businesses start out with, either your family and friends or yourself or your funds. I hope you didn't dig into your 401k or your.
No, but when I started the business, I was working, So I use monies that I had saved, monies from my salary, and my family invested as well. Oh, and I did get a Kiva loan, actually.
Explain that. Explain the people. First time I heard. Explain the people to the listeners what that is and how you got it.
Kiva. So Kiva is a nonprofit as well. And what happens is that you pitch your story to them, and anyone can donate to your fundraising, and then you pay them back in small increments. But they first, when you first begin, you have to get at least 11 friends and family to first invest in you. Mm-hmm. And then after you reach your goal, they give you about 45 days to reach to do that. And then after you reach your goal, then it goes global. And so then anyone from any place over the world, throughout the world, they can donate to your cause. It starts, well, it's a loan, actually, but it's an interest-free loan. And they can donate at a minimum of $25 all the way up to $500.
I see.
And so then you pay them back in small increments as time goes by.
Okay, so this is another form of crowdfunding, what they call crowdfunding.
Yes, but it's an actual nonprofit organization that does this for all types of businesses. And then actually how I got involved, how I learned about it, there was someone else that I knew that was participating, and I had loaned her money. Uh-huh. So then when it was time for me to do my business, I recalled, and then I applied as well. And based on my story, I qualified, and then I was able to move forward and get lending, interest-free lending, but you do pay it back, and it's paid over time in small increments.
Okay. Is there any particular time frame, or you set your time frame?
I'm trying to remember that. That's a good question. I don't remember. I think until it's paid back, until a loan.
I understand that, but they don't give you 2 years, 5 years, 6 years, minimum payments of $25, $60, anything like that?
So I do have a payment amount that I'm supposed to pay every month, but I think it might be 5 years, if I'm recalling correctly.
Okay. Explain to the listeners the process that you went about starting your cafe.
So it was the height of COVID. I was working in the city. I'm just a entrepreneur at heart. I don't really care to work for anyone or want to work for anyone, but I've had to over the years. And I was driving by in my town. The spot that I chose is located in Montclair Center, where there is a music venue that was in the process of being opened. And I thought that was a great spot for me. So I just literally called the number, met with the realtor, acquired the space, and then 6 months later, I opened up the business.
Uh-huh. That's a pretty quick. How did you get all of your equipment? I mean, and all the rest of that stuff to go into a cafe. And what about all the licenses required, because you're serving food?
Yes. So I had to go to the town. And I had, well, first, the first thing I had to do, so after I secured the lease and secured and negotiated the lease, I had to hire an architect to do an architectural floor plan. Then I had to submit the floor plan to the building department of my town. And that's one aspect. Then I had to submit paperwork I had to hire an electrician, and then he had to submit paperwork for the electrical work. Then I had to hire a plumber, and then I had to submit paperwork for the plumbing. And those are the three main components of putting together the store: the building, electrical, and the plumbing. And so I had to, you know, file the paperwork. I had to pay the fees. I found an online company that supplied me with all of my appliances and equipment. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how I did it. I juggled it while, you know, working from home and going back and forth to the store. The store is not far from where I live, so I was able to run over and meet with the plumber, or run over and meet with the electrician, And then it took me about 6 months to get it done because it was COVID. So the township clerk office was not open. So you had to go by and drop off the paperwork and wait and pick it up and then drop it off and pick it up. So it was a process.
And what about your food license?
Oh, yeah. So, I forgot about that. So, yes, you also have to submit to the health department, because then after all of the work is done, then they all come in and inspect. So after you get the electrical, an inspector comes, the building inspector comes, the health department inspector comes, and they go through the process, the store with you to make sure that everything is passing inspection.
All right. Now that you're open, says your cafe offers vegan and vegetarian entrees, desserts, and beverages. Plus, you do catering for large and small events, I understand. So
yeah,
let the listeners know how you reach your target markets.
Through social media. And I use Square as my point of sale platform. So I also do email marketing, text marketing, on Instagram, on Twitter. I use Google, word of mouth, referral, the farmers markets. I have signage, and that's pretty much how people know about me. So in terms of the grant funding, I would like to, if I do qualify or get the grant or win the grant, I would like to hire a sales and marketing and social media person to elevate what I do myself.
Okay. And you have a website?
Yes.
Why don't you give that website out?
Sure. It's www.lulusartisanalcafe.com.
Why don't you explain the difference to the listeners, the difference between vegetarian and vegan?
Okay. So vegan is completely plant-based, no animal products at all. Vegetarians, there's various levels of vegetarianism. So some vegetarians can have dairy or cheese, but they are primarily vegetables. But vegans, they don't eat anything that had a face, not even honey. They don't eat funny from bees.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
So you did say you participate in farmers markets. Do you still participate?
Yes. When I started out, as I mentioned, when I initially started my business, I did one farmers market, and then the following year I did two farmers markets, and right now this year I'm in six farmers markets.
Wow! And how has that helped your business?
Tremendously, because literally I can make a large sum of money in a span of 3, 4, or 5 hours that sometimes may take me a week to do in the store.
Uh-huh. Does the being in the farmer's market help your brick and mortar establishment?
Yes, definitely. Because I gain and acquire customers from my farmer's markets to then come to the store.
Ah, good, good. All right. Now I know you've been open offering vegan and vegetarian. Here's a question, because it's just recently come to my attention that the rise in prices for meat products. Tell the listeners what effect that's had on your business, especially with the cafe.
So I don't serve meat in the sense of meat. I do have another menu with chicken, fish, and shrimp, because when I initially started, I wasn't necessarily working in the cafe. I had a chef that was working, and he came with the clientele, and they were big meat eaters. So I do have a dedicated menu for chicken, fish, and shrimp. My operation is still very small. Everything is made to order and from scratch. So I don't necessarily buy large sums of food and end up with a lot of waste. I shop at least 3 times a week to keep everything fresh, and I, you know, purchase according to the volume that I'm going to cater to.
With that rise in price with people from going to restaurants, means restaurants have to raise their prices. Have you started getting new clientele because people have decided, maybe I'll try the vegan or I'll try the vegetarian option?
Oh, yes, always. I get primarily my customers, believe it or not, from Google. and they're from all over, because if they are looking for plant-based and they're coming to Montclair, or they're just looking for plant-based and they Google, I normally come up in a search. I was affected by inflation as it pertains to the fruits that I use for my lemonades, because everything is made fresh. So lemons, the price fluctuates tremendously.
Yes.
Strawberries, there was a big, you know, a big increase with that. Pineapples. So from 1 week to the next, the prices fluctuate tremendously. So that more so affected me. The seafood, shrimp and chicken, not so much. That's stayed, you know, neutral, but the fruits definitely.
Yeah, I can attest to that. I'm a fruit eater, and strawberries went from being $2.50 a pound to being $5 a pound. And
correct.
Grapes from 99 cents a pound to $2.99 a pound. So yes, I can attest to that. It really hurts. It really hurts.
Right. Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know?
About me specifically,
about
or the business,
you,
or
about the business, about anything?
I guess I'd like them to come and visit, or find us at one of our farmers markets, find us at one of the festivals. We are in the following farmers markets. On Tuesdays, we're in Watchung and in Bloomfield, Watchung, New Jersey, and Bloomfield, New Jersey. On Thursdays, we're in Newark. Fridays, we're in Highland Park. Saturdays, we're in Wayne. And Sundays, we're in Little Falls. Towards the end of this month, we'll be participating in the Montclair Jazz Festival. And then in September, we'll be back in the Montclair Jazz Festival. And then right now, we're open with evening limited hours due to the festival. And we're at 406 Bloomfield Avenue in Montclair, New Jersey, right in Montclair Center. We cater. So if they're interested in having us cater their events, we would love that. I'm very proud of my product and what I do, because I do it because I'm passionate about it, and a lot of love goes into it. Not many people make lemonade the way that I make it, by hand, from scratch. It's a process. It's very labor intensive. And I'm just very proud of what I do. So if people can support us, that would be great.
Okay. Give your website one more time.
Sure. It's www.lulusartisanalcafe.com.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Lucienne. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
When it comes to women-owned businesses, the top five areas in which women start a business are healthcare and social assistance, professional, scientific, and technical services, meaning lawyers, bookkeepers, and consultants, retail trade, other services except public administration, and accommodation and food services. These stats are from the SBA's Office of Advocacy and were compiled prior to the pandemic. Around 50 years ago, the idea of a female entrepreneur managing her own company would have seemed ambitious at best. With discrimination and gender equality being factors working against women, women entrepreneurs started their rise to fame. Many women have started their own business in order to break free from social constraints. Women who are business owners can achieve financial independence without relying on the status quo. In the last 20 years, women entrepreneur statistics have shown that the amount of female-owned businesses has increased by 114%. There is no doubt that women have made an enormous effort to be present in the world of entrepreneurship. Their impact is remarkable, and there is a likelihood that it will only grow. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbb@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show, or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you'd like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, it's sbp at wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars or in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on Local Workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any one of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. I would again like to thank Lucianne Coppedge for taking the time out of her day to be a guest on SCORE Business Points. Tune in next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.